Belief, Jonathan and I, and production man Jay are talking about belief. We're tearing belief apart. You know, what is it to you, and how do you come to believe, and did you or have you, will you, do you want to, and so on. And one of the factors that really plays key in all of this, I believe anyway, and I think a lot of the people who do what I do believe, is that you have to operate, number one, from the moment, and you have to do it as best you can outside of emotion. Now, that sounds kind of funny in our world, because everything is sort of based on us being happier or having more joy or more fun. A lot of people use fun. I'm not a fun guy. I'm in for the serenity and the peace and the inner joy that just comes with natural happenings, spiritual happenings that I don't make happen, but I'm allowed to be involved in that. Mm-hmm. That's such an honor, you know, and that's really what it's all about for me. But when we think of, you know, emotionalism, and this part I read to you in the break there, Jonathan, that we're ever reminded in one of our traditions that we work with in the program, we're ever reminded to put principles before personalities. And as I watch the world go around and see how different people are thought of in different circumstances, I know more and more that I'm right on this one. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm emotionally sober, I can listen to absolutely anybody and know when I've got to stop listening, even, you know, like, because I'll get the twang in my gut and I've got to put the brakes on and Scott, stop, take some breaths, do what you have to do. If you have to leave, leave, but don't get yourself totally unemotional so that whatever you put out is impure. Mm-hmm. You know, if the emotional sobriety is a straight line, you know, kind of like when somebody comes to the end there and, you know, mm-hmm. the buzz. So anyway, yeah, when we're there, where do we go? Where do we go? How can we possibly be rational, functional, intelligent, emotionally intelligent, especially if our emotions are in trouble? So how do we stay pure? You mentioned, Jonathan, going back to the beginning, in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, what was it like when I just came around? What does belief and emotionalism and respecting the principle, in a sense, more than doing anything based on a personality? You know?
And I think what is wrapped up in personalities is judgment. You know, the judgment of other people, you know, what they look like or how they're acting or, you know, their behavior. Like, oh, I would never, you know, I would never act like that. So therefore, this person shouldn't. And that judgment is dangerous. It's dangerous water.
Yeah.
And so if I'm judging somebody in a negative sense, not necessarily like, you know, rationally looking at someone and being healthy about it. I'm saying judgment, like negative things. Yeah. I'm probably thinking badly. And then I'm definitely not loving them.
Yeah.
And so if I'm thinking badly, I'm not loving the person, and I've got these negative thoughts about the person, if I fixate on that, and this is the personalities thing, I'm going to get in a horrible mood, and I'm not going to treat them well.
Yeah.
And that's going to result in, you know, X, Y, Z. You fill in the blanks because it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So I think it does stem to, you know, love first.
Yeah.
And acceptance and like all of the characteristics of what love is.
Yeah.
And that will dissipate a lot of these things that are cloudy in perspective. Cause you know, I grew up like making fun of people. Like I was kind of raised that way. We poke fun. It was like in our kind of DNA and, you know, it's damaging. It's just, it's a very quick way of writing someone off and not seeing the gold or the, you know, the innate divine intelligence inside somebody. And you know, you don't get any gifts from writing people off like that. So there's so much benefit from, you know, really falling for people, loving them truly. And on the love side, you can get in real trouble because then that becomes emotional.
Yeah.
However, I don't think true love is actually emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it gets really bizarre because, you know, the world is the taught that, you know, fall in love and emotionalize and all this stuff. But love to me is a choice. I was on the way here and I saw that the garbage was not out. And I know that loving my wife means putting that garbage out because every 2 weeks those bags are going to fill up and she's going to stare at it and kick them around the kitchen and you know, not be happy. And so, you know, that's a choice at that point. I wasn't emotional about the garbage this morning.
No.
But I knew, that action means that I love her because I'm doing something to love. So it's like, you know, getting out of emotion and getting into action because I think that love is an action word. You know, it's a listening word.
Yep.
It's a spending time word. It's a, you know, sacrifice word.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the doing aspect of this.
Yeah.
So I think, the principles over personalities is, you know, a very kind of broad statement and you can go a lot of different avenues on it.
Yeah.
But definitely there's something to do with judgment and the opposite of love there.
Yeah. And you know, you hit a lot of things on the head there, but you know, the, if you spot it, you got it thing.
Yes.
Or, you know, that's
the judgment. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember when we first did those sheets for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, gosh, and I tricked, we talked about this on the show before, but I tricked my girlfriend, or fiance, or girlfriend at the time, we're married now, into saying, you know, what do you really not like about other people? I wrote them all down, and at the end, I'm like, by the way, if you spot it, you got it, and I started reading them back about, and then she starts reflecting on her life. We both did it mutually, it was a nice experience, and it's revealing, you know? The most often thought that you have in judgment of another person, wear it.
Yeah.
Because it's likely what you're upset that you're not doing. It's yours. You're welcome.
Might as well wear it, Good. Emotionalism versus rationality. It's a tough one.
Yeah,
because we're judging animals. You know what I mean? That's what we are.
I think that with faith and hope, the same thing. Especially in the church, like faith is an emotional word for people.
Yeah.
But biblically, it's not. It was the only time that Jesus was impressed by someone's faith was when the person expressed to him knowledge of the kingdom, knowledge of how the spiritual realm works.
Yeah.
It wasn't some like, I'm going to muster up this feeling.
Yeah.
It was when they said, hey, when I'm a soldier or I'm a commander, when I tell my soldiers to go, they go.
Yep.
And when I tell them stay, they stay. And when you say go, you got angels that go, and when you say stay, you got angels that stay.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I've never seen this faith in all of Israel. And so faith can be an emotional word, but it's not. It's a knowledge of how things operate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when, you know, take the fun, quote, take the fun out of it, the things that are cloudy and maybe exciting or whatever, and just get right down to the core of, like, truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get to this this program and you're starting to live better, you know, that's just fundamental, the right thing to do. There's black and white.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, I should do this and I'm going to do this. And, you know, with that choice, you actually get, you know, life that comes out of the other end of that.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Powerful.
But
it's
the answer. It's like you've always got two trees. Yeah, I'm going to choose the tree of life every time.
Yeah.
Or I got this other tree to go my own way in rebellion.
Yeah. If you choose the faith, you know, you're making a decision in the beginning. I mean, we've got to seek it, you know, like, I mean, faith grows, I believe, anyway.
I agree,
you know, it's not just there. I mean, we're told scripturally we're given a measure of it, you know, and whether that means, you know, you get more than I do or Jay gets more than we do or whatever, I don't really know, but we're given a measure, and with that, we're supposed to do whatever we're supposed to do, and, you know, the Almighty knows what we're going to do anyway, you know, which I can't get across to a lot of people. It's like, well, you know, I mean, God knows everything, you know, He has to, or it's not real. I mean, He can't know the beginning and the end without knowing the ingredients between the beginning and the end. It just doesn't, it's not right, you know, it can't happen. So, he wrote the book, you know, so, like, you got a problem, you know, you know, love is probably the answer, but you need to take it up with the lover.
Yes.
With the king.
And that's the step, is, like, realizing that there is something that wants to help you.
Yeah.
And then the grasping of, like, it's, We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Yep.
And we're talking about like what sanity is.
Yep.
Like sanity might be being sober for 5 minutes.
Yep.
And it might be being sober for an hour.
Yep.
Or it might be being sober for another 10 years.
Yep.
So
that's
like,
right. Yep.
And that word is interchangeable to each person and where they are at.
Yep.
And that's where you're talking about the kind of growth and the depth of, you know, you start somewhere.
Exactly.
But there's an end journey and a growth that has to happen.
Yep.
My encouragement is you can go as fast as you want.
Yeah.
You know, you can spend 40 years walking in a circle or you can go 11 days in one direction and really trust and surrender this stuff.
Yeah.
I've been a miracle story completely.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I, you know, I've seen other stories the same thing. It doesn't have to take a really, really, really long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful journey. And, you know, there's timing and patience and all that stuff. However, if you want to rush it, go for it.
Yeah.
Jump in, move as fast as you can, get as much stuff out as possible and get your slate clean. Because I feel like this is a program that, you know, is a slate cleaning program.
Oh, yeah. It's a washout. There's no question to me. It's a start over. And if you live the way it tells you to live, you know, you're staying close to the Almighty all the time. And, I don't know. And how do you start? Well, you seek, you know, you want, you make a conscious decision, as we said before, and you decide for faith and you know that things are going to happen that you don't understand, big things, bad things, good things, middle things, but you're going to go on the faith that anything put before you is a hurdle that's overcomeable, number one. And if it's a big hurdle, well, you've been given a lot of faith because we're told we're not going to die. We're going to get through it. We're going to make it. We're going to, whatever it is, you know, so the bigger the hurdle given to me, the more the faith the Almighty has in me. So I can sort of take it as that means, you know, God has a lot of faith in me, even though it doesn't feel like that sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and I mean, and action was the deal too, like not only faith, but... love is action, like Jonathan was saying. You know, you've got to do the do things, and that means different things to different people. But you've got to take action. And remember, it used to say faith, hope, and charity. It's still the same, but charity is love, and charity is not sitting on your butt. You know, and charity is even if it's only getting up and signing checks or whatever you do. There's action behind it, you know. So you've got to move. You got to keep moving, you know. And and to love and receive love and all that, like you say, you got to keep moving and do. I think do my best to stay on that even keel because, in a sense, after like all these years, sobriety means so much more to me than anything to do with any kind of substance or behavioral thing or anything. It's a, you know, it's a way of life and. And sobriety is the root of it all. And sobriety allows that evenness. It allows that going with the waves. It allows that living in a moment. And none of those things are unattainable, but none of them just come either. You got to work for them somehow, whatever it is. And then maybe you see some magic once in a while, like we do in the jails. I mean, it's, you know, to go in there is such an honor. You know, I mean, Peter and I and several of us now, we say, well, we go to jail to get high, you know, and not on the drugs that may be hanging around in there either, but on the way people love us, and they do. Boy, I see some of them come out, too, and go through hell again on the outside and still come back. I've got one right, you know, going on this day and tomorrow kind of thing, same thing. Got out, fell off the wagon, and so on and so forth, but... reaching back, you know, and reaching into the same, you know, the same grouping. And I think, well, that's powerful, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means something, somebody is seeing something. It's like this step in the beginning. It's maybe there's something, you know. And that's all we ask, by the way, folks, in this step for people who don't believe in anything. Just to take that step and think, well, maybe this can work and... maybe there's something, and maybe I can learn. Like, he didn't know anything when he started, and neither did she, and so on. And look what they're doing, you know. And maybe, you know, how do I start? And if they ask that, I was going to say you got them, but I don't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're getting it.
Yeah, that's the step.
You know? Yeah.
You can put a check mark beside that.
Yeah. So they want it, and the rest, I mean, we talk too about prayer on our program, and it's not what other people think. It's not what you sound like, how many of these and thous you can say in a sentence or anything like that. It's simple talking, you know, and once a person gets to that and they can just be them and talk like that, they don't care if they're loud or on their own, or it doesn't matter, any of that stuff. But I tell people, like, just do it, you know, start with anything. I mean, you know, if you want to really feel like you're doing something, yeah, get down on your knees, but do it whatever way you want. But you start talking and asking and asking for the things you really need in life, that you think you need to make your life better, not for you, but for those around you, you know? And I think as soon as people start doing that, really get the focus off them in a sense, but on them again. Like, when you're in the program, when you're in the meeting, it's up to me. If I'm in the meeting, it's up to me to focus on whatever's on the table as opposed to fixing the people in the room. But that's the only selfish part. Outside of that, I believe as a Christian, I've got to reach out to others, you know, family and everything, absolutely. But even beyond that, I've got to reach out and try and make life better for other people. And then it feels like life shines no matter what I look like or anything else. So I don't know. Can you relate to any of that?
And I think when you're doing it, you'll see the reaction on the other side. You know, we spent some time with some homeless folks downtown, and as soon as we got there, they're like, "This is the best day ever." And you're like, "We didn't do anything."
That's right.
We just got here. Yeah. We said hello, and you know, we did, you know, spend a lot of time with them and so on. But there was the very beginning of the conversation, they were ecstatic. Yeah. It's a highlight for them.
Yeah.
And I think it was entertaining for us to understand how small of an act it needed to be for someone to have a reaction. And we don't know what the smile, when someone's waiting for the bus and they got a frown and you're in the car and you smile. Like, that person probably thought, why the heck is that person smiling? But it might have done something.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking minuscule things on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Giving of yourself and, you know, surrendering your time and, you know, like you're doing, Scott, going into jails all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that is life-giving. You're attached to a different life source at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not operating saying, you know, I'm in it for me. You're going, I'm going for these other people, but, you know, it's greater to give than it is to receive. So you're getting paid exponentially in all these amazing things, like in the real things that matter.
Yeah.
And I think when you were talking about that like honesty in prayer and just like the so many testimonies of something like, "Hey God, if you're real, do this." You know, it's like very simple, like honest things that people talk to.
Yeah.
To like, this step is that.
Yeah.
And I think really step three is more so the culmination of this.
Yeah.
You know, but those simple moments and you know, if this power is. Who is being claimed to be this power of God that can make everything? Then they know who you are. They know where you're at. They know everything about you.
Yeah.
You know, interact.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. This step to be able to have that freedom and come at it honestly. And I think that's the only thing that matters, because there's so many folks that are involved in the church that aren't honest too.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, you're not, even if you're on the outskirts and you're thinking, I've never been to a church in my life, even on the inside, people aren't being honest. So if you're just being honest and you're talking like, I need to be honest to what my situation is and discover this for myself, that's really what God's looking for.
Yeah, I believe it's
not the these and thous and so on, like you said, quoting scripture. And, you know, those are great, beautiful things, but he's looking for an honest heart.
Yeah.
Genuine reflection on your life. Yeah.
And look where he would be, you know, and what he would be doing. And again, folks were just surmising and guessing, but there comes a time, I think, when the relationship feels so real that you almost know where he would be and what he'd be doing. And I don't know whether that means anything as to, you know, along the line of what we do or what Jonathan does outside the jails. I mean, we're all reaching out, and you know, I think we're trying to give ourselves away. And I don't think I can give myself away dishonestly.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's possible, because once someone else has you, I mean, you know emotionally and so on, the truth that you're the truth in their hands. So I mean, you can't give yourself away, you know, other than true, I believe, other than if you're, sobriety, if you're being
yourself. If you're being yourself, then that is the witness that they need.
Yeah.
And so you can only be yourself.
Exactly.
I think that's also a struggle for folks too. So, you know, you've walked through a lot of identity and understanding who you are and not needing to, you know, have affirmations from other people. You know, you have that identity of like who you are with, you know, your intimacy with God has probably stemmed that, you know? And so for someone else, that may be very foreign, like being myself, my gosh, like I don't like myself.
Yeah.
And so this program's great for that too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
To learn who you are and to not, you know, condemn yourself and also know that other people are much like you.
Yep.
And so, you know, that is a probably gift that you have going in, because you can just, I'm just going to be me, and that's a good witness, and that's honest. And then someone else is like, if I was really me, then, you know, they might not like me, or, you know, it could be, or I'll feel vulnerable, which is the key to this whole thing, is vulnerability.
Yeah.
I think that's coming to believe that's a vulnerable place.
Sure is.
Power greater than myself. Like, that's vulnerable. And I think that, you know, we need to respect that in the step, that it's a vulnerable place, especially if you're doing it for the first time.
Yep.
You know, we've come to believe this greater power. We have a relationship. Like, I trust.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, I know, you said, like, I know what he's doing, what he's saying, and so on. Like, you know, that comes with depth. But at the beginning, it's like staring at a mountain and seeing a cloud come down on the mountain and there's lightning and thunder. You're like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to go over there.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, it's like we've been up there like, oh, like our face is glowing. You know, it's like, it's so good up here. Like, you should join us. And they're like, what, are you crazy? It's like, but when we show our vulnerability, we get to that trust point.
Well, you'll probably remember when we had the mission establishing meeting.
Then,
and of course, vulnerability was, sharing vulnerably was the essence of it, wasn't it? So, but it's amazing. And I think one of the greatest gifts I have is being able to go in with the mentally ill people, especially in the women's jail out there, and to see, you know, recently we had, it was a mistake, really, we had 14 of these ladies all at the same time, and that's way, way too many, generally speaking, because they all have different illnesses. Some are medicated a lot, some not so much, et cetera, et cetera. And to have an order in a room like that, for a human, impossible.
So was it out of control?
No.
It
got so good. And it started with one lady looked at me and I smiled and she said, shut up.
Oh, hi, nice to meet you.
and it was funny. And I sort of, you know, and she said it again. And then I thought, how do you handle this? Now, what do you go from here? And a couple of the other girls, you know, and some are acting like little kids. Oh, she always says that. Don't worry about that. Anyway, this woman sits down. This woman is way bigger than me. I'm 6 foot tall. This one was probably 6'2" and maybe 210, 220. You know, a big lady. And I thought, well, what's she going to do in here? You know, is this the one somebody had a dream about? It's going to have the knife and stick it in me or something? You know what I mean? But anyway, it turns out in the end, she's sitting and she's the most giving of everybody in terms of what she was, her sharing and all that. She was just so into it. And aside from that, the focus was spiritual. Like, what's it like to connect? What, you know, what do you feel? How do you feel? And can you explain it? And every one of them was so unbelievable, you know. And I sit back in that and I say, man, you know, I can't do this with one of them. There's 14 of them here. And they're all like a bunch of little kids in the first day at school and finally getting it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Wow. You know? That's so powerful.
Yeah. And those are the things I was going to say I live for, but I mean, and I don't go seeking them. You can't. But man, when you get them, there's no high on this that I've ever experienced anyway. And I've tried a few of them over the years. So, you know what I mean?
Right. And you need faith to be in that meeting and be like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I can't control these people. There's no chance. Like, you need to have a higher power at that point.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You need to rely on something.
Yeah. Well, to be safe. I mean, you've got to have something because, well, it might sound awful, but half of them probably, you know, are hoping for NCR, they call it, not criminally responsible, kind of end to their story. So you can imagine, and all of those, and just loving people, and they don't even know anything about that stuff, what they did or didn't, or, you know what I mean? It's just a whole nother thing. And But it's beautiful because you know, we learn to separate the people from their behavior, mm-hmm. totally separate, and mm-hmm. and we can love them just like God does, just like Jesus taught us. You know, like and if you give yourself away, that I kind of understand that now. Like the highest ranking is in service. You know, I
believe, wow.
you know, of sorts or another.
Right.
And you know, to the well done, good and faithful servant is probably, you know, the. If you could posthumously write that on your tombstone, it'd be worth it. Nothing else mm-hmm. to me makes much. I couldn't care if I'm my name's on it even.
Yeah.
Or if I'm even in there.
Yeah, those are the words we're living for. It seems very simple, but well mm-hmm. done is the whole climax.
Yeah, there. Exactly. Anyway, take another break there, my friend, and see what you can do. Stir up some, I don't know. Emotion out there? No.
We want you on an even keel.
Yeah.
You're listening to Sharing the Burden here on Whistle FM. We'll be back right after this.